Kuf Mem Dalid, which is, corresponds to page 287, right in the middle of the page where it says Masha Kosev Arizal in the English. It is Rabbi Yitzhak Luria of Blessed Memory in stating at the bottom of the left side. We are talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Alter Rebbe, quoting the Raya Mehemna, that right now the world is underneath, is under the dominion of the tree of knowledge. When Mashiach comes, then the world will be under the dominion of the tree of life. And right now, therefore, we have to engage in such things called pilpulim, which is the back and forth, the give and take to derive a halacha. And he talks about this, we'll talk about this at great length. And we have to rely on the unwashed masses for the sustenance of the Talmid HaChachamim. Umasha Kosev HaRizal, we said this last time in passing, it was just brought down like a side point, that he said there that Mishnayis is the Shivcha, he said before, the slave girl, the handmaiden. Mm-hmm. So it says the Arizal writes, and this is also quoted from a earlier in the Tanya, where he talks about where on the Kabbalistic GPS you'll find the source of all the different things that we learn. So he says Mishnayis is in Malchus of Yetzirah. It says that Malchus is found in Yetzirah, since it is that we said last time that that Malchus Peter Shebal Peh. That Malchus represents the oral tradition, because in the paradigm, one of the paradigms of the alignment of the spheres, Malchus corresponds to the mouth. And so since this corresponds to the mouth, so we're talking specifically then about Tershav Alpeh, so there's Malchus in every world. And so from, in the world of Asiya, Malchus of Asiya is where Psukim come from the 24 books of the Bible. Mishnah is found in Yetzirah, Gemara is found in Bria, and Kabbalah if it's found in Atzilus. Which is why they're so the increasing hardness of each one. Psukim are easier than Mishnayos, which is easier than Gemara, which is easier than Kabbalah, because the godliness comes down, the Torah Shebal Peh comes down lower, so therefore it makes it easier to understand. But it's easier to work with Psukim than it is with Mishnayos, than it is with Gemara, than it is with Kabbalah. Okay, and what it actually is, the way it's described in the early parts in the Tanya, in the 40s over there, that when a person learns Kabbalah, for example, so it doesn't come down to this world, whereas Psukim do. Why? Because since it's coming from such a high place, it stays where it is. Okay, and the words that we're elevating back to the place where once they came, but the effect that Kabbalah has on the world directly is not as great as Gemara, which is not as great as Mishnah, which is not as great as Psukim. Okay, and then to balance that, we said also last time, however, if you're on a level of studying Kabbalah and you're studying Psukim, you're wasting your time, and it is Bethel Teir. Okay, so you think, why? I want to prove the world with the Torah Shebal Peh, the written Torah. I says, no, that's this person has an ability to learn from the higher level. She learned from the higher level. So now back to this. What does it mean when the Arizal called it that? It's called Mishnayis, coming from Malchus of Yetzirah. Ratzalayim levush Malchus Yetzirah shnis labish ba Malchus d'Atzilus. That means to say, all the Torah comes from Chachmas of Ritzon Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all coming from Chachma of Atzilus. That's where the Torah is coming from. The Psukim, the Mishnayis, the Gemara, the Kabbalah, it's all coming from Chachma of Atzilus. But what? So it comes through the process whereby it is more palatable or usable as it comes down. So it is rooted in Chachma of Atzilus, but it's manifest in Malchus of Yetzirah, and it's called a Shivcha. It's called the handmaiden, Legavi Malchus de Atzilus. Compared to Malchus of Atzilus, we said before that Malchus of Atzilus was called the mother. Malchus de Bria Nikra, Malchus de Bria Nikra Ema. Malchus of Bria is called the mother. Vetei de Mamasha Kosev, and that's generally true, because the four Olamos correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Hey, and Vav, and Hey. So Yetzilah corresponds to the Yud, and Bria corresponds to the first Hay, and Yetzirah corresponds to the Vav, and Asiya corresponds to the last Hay. So therefore, Kabbalah is going to have a relationship with the Yud, which is Chachma. Gemara will have a relationship which is the Hay, which is Bina, which is called the Higher Mother. Mishnayis, which there are six of, corresponds to the Vav, which is the numerical value of six. And even before they wrote it down, during the times of Shimon Bar Yochai, when there were 600 Masechtas, it's still number six. Okay? And there are 600,000 Jews, also number six, has to do with it because it's an expression of the emotions, which is in Yetzirah. And then Mikra Psukim is related to Malchus of Asiya. Okay? So Shifalagavi Malchus the Tzil. So Malchus the Bria Nikra Aymat Vitaida Mamasha Kosov Arizal. And you see what is the Arizal writes. The Mikra Dahina Tershabaksav Huba Asiya. When we're talking Psuki, meaning the 24 books of the Bible, that's an Asiya. It's a very strange expression there. It's explained in the Zohar and in the writings of the Arizal and in innumerable places. I think you could enumerate that. You could number that. I don't, you know. Innumerable would like be several billion, maybe. You couldn't count it up. A million places. You know, if you're talking 100 places, he could say comma places, not, you know, in many places. Comma duchta is a normal expression meaning many places. He says it's
innumerable
places. This is like all over the world. He's not, the Alter Rebbe was not one to resort to hyperbole.
Right. No. So he wasn't playing when he was saying it. So.
He said, "This is all over the place." The Shahari ain't misper. Shehi Teferis. That it says over there that Psukim are Teferis, not Malchus and not Netzilus, but there's Zod Netzilus. There, the Psukim are derived from the emotion of Netzilus. But that's true in its source, but it goes through the process and the time. By the time that it's written down, as he said back in chapter 4, 24 books of the Bible, written down with ink on paper, is in Asiya. It doesn't get any more physical than having it written down in a book like that. V'kein hu behedya b'sefer hakavanis. And it's also explained in Sefer Kavanah, which is also from the Arizal. Shemikra u'mishna v'talmud v'kabbalah kulam be'atzilus. It says that all the Torah is in Atzilus. Ela shemikra mislah v'shada asiyah. But, he quoted this earlier in chapter 41. In chapter 40. That psukim, they're in Atzilus, but they come all the way down to Asiyah. And Mishnah is in Atzilus, and it comes down to Yetzirah. And Gemara is in Atzilus and it comes all the way down to Bria. And Kabbalah is in Atzilus and it doesn't come down at all. So now, being that we have this Chachmasa V'Ratzayna Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down into this world, and it manifests in such a way that we can understand it. So we say, what's happening? So it's manifest, the Torah is now manifest in words and situations which are under the rulership of Klipas Noga. If you're talking about things, the Torah is talking about things. Mm. So things are, for the most part, for all automatically fall into the realm of Klipas Noga.
Right.
So where's Klipas Noga fall in this whole business? It's underneath the dominion of the Chedei Tzedas.
Yeah.
There's no right. The whole concept of klippa, which in itself is anti kedusha, even klippa's noga, is as the result of the chedei tzedas. Yeah. It's the result of the sin of the tree of knowledge. Wouldn't have been so that everyone would just be kedusha. There wouldn't be any klippa at all. So what happens is the words of the Torah are now manifest in things. Like, for example, this week's Parsha, it says you can't eat a pig. So right now you're imagining there's this thing there with a short snout and pudgy, what do you call it, little feet things sticking out over there.
Twirly tail.
Yeah, a little twirly tail. And you're not allowed to eat it.
Right.
Okay, what is that thing? That thing is clipa. That's it, actually, tripus,
sure.
Clipus clameus. But the Torah, how did you know that you couldn't eat it? It's because it said in the Torah. So that means that the Torah had to enclose itself into the concept of a pig. And remember, we're talking about the concept of a pig. Hold that thought.
Right.
And what happens when we learn, you cannot eat pig. Okay, there's lots of things that we can engage in berurim, which is one of the things making the world better. But you cannot eat a pig. So how is it that we are mevayer the netzutzis of the from the klippa of the pig? You learn about not eating pig. And any kedusha that was in the pig is now elevated by the fact that you're learning about not eating it.
Mm.
That does it. Okay, and that happens even if you just read the pasuk, the chazer, I don't know the pasuk by heart, you shouldn't eat a chazer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it splits, it has split hooves, but mm-hmm. the druid's cut.
Yeah.
Okay, so that itself elevates the kedusha from it, because Hashem had to create that pig in order for you to learn about not eating it. V'gam harapach netzutzin shenafel b'shviras hakelim. And also the 288 sparks that fell with the shattering of the vessels, yes, when before God created the world. And there was all this elokus that came tumbling into this world that we had the responsibility of finding and elevating. And it says that the Bnei Yisrael, when they left, they took 202 of the 288 sparks with them. And you ever heard that? Based on the verse, Vaha'erev Rav Ola Imahan, the mixed multitude. Rav is a numerical value 202.
Right.
So the mixed 202 they took up with them, and that's leaving only 86 in the sparse, which is the numerical value of the word nature, and that's all that we're left to do since the time that Moses took the Jews out of Egypt. And we know, of course, that the Friedrich Rebbe said, we finished all that. All we have to do is polish the buttons. And the Rebbe said, we have to stop polishing the buttons. All that has to happen now is Mashiach has to come. Yeah.
Are the 86 sparks, are those 86 qualities? Or are those?
No, that's the whole nature. 86 is numerical value Teva.
Teva.
So all that had to be purified was nature.
Our world.
Yes.
The use of our world for
correct.
For Kedusha. Right, got it.
So that you have to do by doing. That you can't
read.
You can't just read about that.
Right.
As I gam hamalchus the silus nikra b'shem eitz hadas.
Yeah.
That at that point, when you're talking about all of the possibility, the potentiality of klippa in this world, and all of the halachas that go along with it, so malchus of etzilus at that point is also called the eitz hadas. Because, where's the Torah coming from? The Torah is coming from Chachmas V'Ratzayin Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Hashem's Chachma and Chachma V'Tzilus, that's how it starts, is what is saying, don't eat a pig.
Mm.
That's where it's coming from.
Right.
In the Kabbalah GPS.
Chain, yeah.
Yeah, it's don't try and visualize this, because you're going to get back to the old man in the chair paradigm.
Oh, it's a great idea.
And that's wrong.
It's all the visualization.
It is?
Of Zora.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Really? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so the Torah as it's manifest, so by the time it gets to Malchus of Atzilus, so it then becomes the root of the Torah Shebal Peh, involved with all of these things that are forbidden, and therefore Malchus of Atzilus is called the Eitz Hadas, because Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, there's a concept of Ra in Malchus of Atzilus. Legavi Zoda Atzilus, comparably speaking, to the higher level of it, then it's above it, the emotions of Zod, where the idea of good and bad doesn't exist yet pretty much at all.
Right.
She'ena Yored Sham V'nikra Eitz HaChayim, it doesn't come down, and this is called the Tree of Life. So the Torah is both, because the Torah is coming from Chachma.
Right.
So as it's in Zohar, you call it the as it's in the emotions of Atzilus, so you call it the Tree of Life. once it now descends one step further into Malchus of Atzilus, which is responsible for the quote-unquote articulation of the Torah. We're not going to go into that paradigm now. There it's called Eitz Hadas. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil because you have halachas involving things that are wrong. So this that we have, Malchus of Atzilus now, descending into Klipas Noga to be manifest, that we could learn about things that we shouldn't be doing, that for Hashem is called Golus. That's called the secret of the exile of the Shekhinah. Okay, just by the very fact that we could talk about a pig being forbidden means that there is godliness involved with forbidden things. That, for Hashem, is called Gullus. It doesn't matter now at this point that the person's actually eating the thing or not, Chas V'Shalom, because he already talked about that way back in chapter 24. That if a person does a little sin, even for a short time, it's like he takes the head of the king and sticks it into an outhouse. So that's referring to doing. So here, we're talking about, and that's for sure considered Gullus, for the divine presence in this physical world. But even for the Shekhinah, which the Shekhinah, Malchus of Atzilus, is not chump change. So to say that it has to be manifest in 365 prohibitions is gullus for the Shekhinah at that point.
Sure.
It's only, it's purely 100% Torah. That's all it is at that point. And it doesn't relate to any actual klippa at that point. But because this is where the idea, the concept of klippa and things wrong is going to be stemming from, is rooted in that. So the divine presence there is concealed within it, you might say. That's why we call it gullus. That there's that the all those things that are in opposition to Hashem's will, how did they come about into be brought into existence?
By Hashem.
Hashem brought him.
By Hashem, yes.
So that means that did Hashem create the world for Klippa? No. So Hashem created the world for Klippa, and what it does is it puts a dampering effect on the divine presence, which means the revelation of Hashem.
Right.
Which is why we talk about when Mashiach comes, Chazer is going to be kosher. So what does that mean? The catch-all is don't be thinking BLT so fast. Because as soon as the world has achieved the level where pig goes back to being kosher, so then we're not going to need to eat anymore. And therefore, so what's the point? So the point will be that now when you're learning about eating a pig, not eating a pig, now you could eat the pig at this point. You're not going to want to eat the pig. So, but there, the whole concept of pig is not coming from the tree of knowledge of good and bad, and rooted in that, which would be considered Gullus Ashkenah. Now it's coming from Eitz Chaim, which is the tree of life, which is the higher expression, and it there's no concealment, there's no Gullus. That's the Geula. Okay?
Yeah.
Asher Shalit Ha'adam, this is called the Gullus Ashkenah, Asher Shalit Ha'adam, the Adam, that one person rules over another person. Okay? And that's also part of the Gullus.
True.
That you have people that are leaders and people that are followers. When Mashiach comes, it says, the expression is, no one's going to need a teacher.
Right.
Okay? Because you're just going to get it all straight from Hashem. Same thing, you're not going to need to eat. So you're not going to have anybody have to be smarter than you, that they're going to know how to cook, and you didn't know how to cook because you're not going to be eating anyway. There's not going to be need to cook it.
Right.
You're going to get all your energies directly from Hashem.
Like in the air?
Nope.
No.
Energy, just pure energy.
Just pure energy.
Just from the soul. Right.
Straight. Wow. Connect. The pipeline that's connected to Hashem will be opened up. Full jets.
Yeah.
V'zeh shekosu b'raya mehemna. And this is now what it says in the Zohar. Uzmane. During the time of the rulership of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, these rule, these, meaning the klippa is in charge. that Klippa was put in charge because the Shekhinah said, okay, you're in charge. Hashem, this is the paradigm Hashem created. It's not like Hashem's hand was forced.
No, Chas V'Shalom, that's ridiculous.
You know, no one is stuffing Hashem into Klippa.
No.
And saying, no, this is a Klippa time now.
It's all...
This is Hashem's doing, that Hashem is what's creating the Klippa, and therefore creating this Gullus.
Mm-hmm. Because of the Eitz.
Yeah.
Hadas.
Yes, well, because the Eitz of the Das is, I don't know if you say it was a symptom rather than a cause. You know, so the he calls it Eitz Hadas because now there's something called Tov and Ra. Okay. So now what happens to the goal of the Shekhinah, so that the Shekhinah is Mashbas L'chatzonim, Shehem HaKlip is Noiger, that the divine presence now has to enliven extraneous forces, that that's Klippas Noga, Shahar of Rav Yoinkin Masham, that the mixed multitude, which is, that's the chayas of the Klippa, is called the mixed multitude because it's a lot of it, and it's all mixed into the Klippa, derive their nurture from there, and that's where they get their sparks from, and Zainim Talmidei Chachamim Begolus. And since they have so much chayas coming to them through the forces of Klippa, so therefore they have all this stuff, and they say, you know what? Let's keep the Talmidei Chachamim going. And by keeping the Talmidei Chachamim going, so the world will be created and continue to be created. And since we're still under the dominion of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so therefore, we will still be receiving our chayas, but now we even get it since the world's on such a better place because of the Talmidei Chachamim that we're supporting and the Torah that they're bringing into this world. So then, since the whole entire plane of existence is getting higher, so even Klippa is getting it from a higher place also.
Right,
so
right.
To their benefit, for them, for the forces of evil to enliven the Talmidei Chachamim, so that they get more. Okay, it's worth it for them that they should get, that the Talmidei Chachamim should get more, in order that they the Klippa should get more.
A rising tide raises all ships.
Yep.
Correct.
Everybody profits. Yeah. And it's not even trickled down. As Iker Avodas Ha'adam, the Iker Oisa Keter V'Hamitzus Hu Levar Netzutzus Kenaida. Therefore, the main thing that a person has to do, and his main occupation in learning Torah and mitzvahs, is to purify the sparks, as is known from the writing of the Arizal. So that when a person, what are they doing with the physical world? Is they're occupied with the physical world in order to purify it, the physical world, and elevate it to a higher level.
Yes.
Releasing any kedusha which is hidden within it.
Yes.
But then also the Torah that the person learns, which is also dealing with Esser V'Heter, Tamei V'Tar, Pasul V'Kasher. So all those things are also then become elevated simply by learning about them. So that's what he says. That answers the question then. So what does it mean when he says that this is the Eitz Hadas? We say that the Torah is Eitz Chaim Hilamach Sikimba. The Torah is a tree of life. That was the second question. So he says, okay, fine. That's not what we're talking about. It's always going to be the answer. It's okay, fine. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, what we're talking about is the effect that it has in this world as it comes down into this world, and we can relate to it in an absolute way, is when the Torah is now manifest in things that under the rulership of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Lachen ikur inyan halimud hu bi'iyun v'pilpul halacha bi'isir v'heter tamu v'tar. That's why it is now, the way that we come to learn things is specifically through deliberation of the halacha. Halachas just aren't spat out. Okay, you cannot open a chumash and say, oh, I got this, I know what to do.
Right.
Similarly also, you cannot open up a mishnah, read the mishnah and say, oh, I know what to do. Okay, because there are times when the Mishnah says, zillions of times, when the Mishnah will say, this is what you're supposed to do, and then they discuss it, and they say, wait a minute, there seems to be some sort of a confusion over here, and it comes out that when the Mishnah said what it said, it didn't say that at all, it said something completely and totally different.
Resolve. Let's forget the word for it, but it came up, comes up a lot.
Yep. And therefore, it's only through the pulling, the back and forth, the deliberation that we're able to come up with the halacha, levar hamutter v'hatara ma'ha'isir v'hatame, in order to extract the permitted and the pure from the forbidden and the impure, al yidei iyun upilpul halacha b'chachma bina v'dask. Through the learning of pilpul, through the back and forth of deliberation, person using their intellect. And he talks about, why should we bother learning kachim? You have a whole seder of Mishnah and Gemara,
right,
that deals with all the happenings in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're a real ideologue, so you can say, well, I'm learning this stuff so that when Mashiach comes, I'll have an idea what it is that's going on. I went after later. I will have learned, you know, Zvachim and Menachas and all those things, and Temura, and I'll know what to do, what not to do, and I'll that's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is that by learning about the Karbonos now, it is like you're engaged in actually bringing the Karbonos.
Karbonos, right? Yeah.
Okay, which is why we mentioned it a little bit last week. Before dawn, we say the Perek Eizehu. The simple reason why the Perek Eizehu Mimkaimim was chosen to be said before davening is because, well, the reason why we have a Perek Mishnayos is because you're supposed to learn Mishnayos every single day. You're supposed to at least a Perek Mishnayos. It's better if you learn one in the morning, one at night, but at least have one Perek a day that you should be learning. And it doesn't say that it has to be a different Perek. So we pick the same parak every day. We learn Eizehu.
Right.
And what is the simple reason why was that parak chosen is because there's no arguments. There's no rabbi so-and-so says. Yeah. It's all just straight. And the reason being is listen, you got to go get daven. If you're going to start getting involved with the back and forth, this guy says that guy says this. So you're going to forget about daven. You're just going to go back into the rational between this one and start making pull. That's not what we want. Okay, so now there could have been other parakim of Mishnayos
that they chose.
That there were no arguments.
Right.
Why is it specifically that parak, Hashem set it up such that there should be no arguments in the Mishnah? Is because, what are we talking about over there? It's talking about community sacrifices, it's talking about personal sacrifices, and therefore it's considered as though the person, before they start davening, Hashem says, oh, look, this guy's learning about karbonis. We'll give it to him as though he's learning the karbonis, he's offering the karbonis. Okay, so that when a person is engaged in this study, and then when you actually go up and open up a Masechta Zvachim, and you get into the whole down nitty gritty behind it, what's considered nicer, what's considered pigle, what's considered shrutei chutz, all these different things that could invalidate a carbon.
Right.
So now you become defined it more, and you're able to establish the parameters of your carbon. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Practical is not going to be working, but I guess impractically, no. That philosophically, theoretically, you are doing a tremendous thing by learning about it in the world,
sure,
in this world.
Yeah.
Because it's known that the Torah comes from Hashem's level of wisdom of Atzilus. And it says specifically, with wisdom, is there a purification? So Hashem, which is Hashem's galus, is in Malchus of Atzilus. The Torah is in Chachma of Atzilus.
Right.
So if we kind of like flow this Chachma of Atzilus into Malchus of Atzilus and just sort of like do this volcanic thing over here, so then we get rid of the klippa at its shurish. It's the difference between holistic and symptomatic. How are you going to treat a condition? This guy's got a headache. Give him an aspirin. That will take care of the headache.
Right.
This guy has a headache. Oh, he has a concussion. So if we try to take care of the concussion, then the headache will go away without the aspirin. Okay, if there is a treatment for concussion. But, you know, one day there will be. So you get the idea. Yes. Okay, so this then, that you can get rid of klippa by not eating pig and controlling oneself and using things for to serve Hashem, or you can go to the source from where klippa comes, totally, completely overflow it with chachma of Atzilus, thus by nullifying this oppositionalism that the klippa has, and you get rid of the klippa that way. That was really what the style of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was all about. Remember, we said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't do any mitzvahs because he was so busy learning. Because what was happening with his learning, he was accomplishing B'derech Mamela automatically what we try to do when we're struggling by doing the mitzvahs. Hence, we see this story, the difference when they asked for rain, when Chani Amagel asked for rain, so he had to pray, and it came too much, it came too little, it came just right, and he had to talk, he had to yell at God and say, I'm not moving out of this circle until you get it to go. He had to really threaten Hashem. Okay, whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, all he had to do was start saying a maimer, and Sheva Hinei Matev U'manayim, and it started raining properly all automatically. Because Chani Amagel was dealing with, we don't have any rain. Right here now in this world, we don't have any rain. Hmm. Whereas Shimon Bar Yochai was dealing with, right now, Chochma of Atzilus is not flowing properly. Hmm. Because if it was flowing properly, well, we'd have rain.
Right.
So his deal was that he tapped into Chochma of Atzilus by saying this Maimer of Hinei Matav U'Manayim, and that caused it for the flow to come down, the Gadolus to affect itself properly, and that it came down in the end in the absolute perfect way. And he got rid of the klippa just by saying Torah. Okay, so that's what happens when we start learning the halachas back and forth and all the pilpul that goes into them. So we're then tapping into the wisdom of Hashem as it's affecting now this physical world. What are you talking about? Chachma ilah d'atzilus hamalubish b'malchus d'atzilus soid ha-teder shebalpeh, which is exactly what I just said. Ubesayd abba yisayd barta, as it says, the foundation of the father, which is chachma, can be found in the foundation of the daughter, which is malchus. So it's the same modus operandi in a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of them does it in a Chochma way, the other one does it in a Malchus way. Hamalubish b'Malchus the Yitzira, and then from there it goes from Atzilus, it goes into Yitzira. Said HaMishnayas Ubraisis, Hamalubish is B'Klippas Nega, and there that's why you have Mishnayas, they come out, and they come down to a way in such a way that they're affecting the Klippa, and you can learn Mishnayas much easier. Shekinega Le'Lam Yitzira, Shesham Maskil B'Vuchinas Das. And something that says Hara. Shubhanogar. It makes more sense to say Ra. That they're in Atzilus, as they're in Yetzirah, so you have entities that recognize their limitations of their own existence. So once you're now talking limitations, so this only goes so far, and this only goes so far,
right.
So in between there's room for Klippa.
Mm.
What's the Klippa in Yetzirah? Actually it says, this world is vast majority Klippa. Yetzirah is half and half. So that means that the klippa is existing in a spiritual form in the world of Yetzirah. That means that, is it opposing in opposition to Hashem? Is it those, like the line in the Haggadah, a band of evil angels?
Not
you know, so it's not, no, we're not talking, you're not talking pantheism or dualities,
no.
Because, not speak, but there are going to be those entities that are saying, from me is going to come a pig.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
Okay, on Yecheskel's chariot, which is in Atzilus, so there was a lion, an ox, an eagle. And these were, the lion was the source of all the unkosher mammals. And where was this that he saw this? This is in Malchus of Yetzirah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the source of all the unkosher mammals.
Right.
And the eagle is the source of all of all the birds and fish.
All the birds, right.
And the face of the man is the source of the nefesh or Bahamas.
Birds and fish, yes, okay.
There's a correlation between birds and fish. They're kind of like made out of the same stuff or something.
Well,
they
appear on the same day in creation.
Too. Yes.
Yeah.
And they're both technically parv.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shubanaga the Habrisis and Malubshus Beklipus Naga Shekinega Ulam Haasir Shisham Askil Buchinus Hara Shubanaga Kanada Marizal. This is to say just another point in your to fill in your GPS coordinates over here. And the Brises, which are those unauthenticated Mishnayas, they descend into Klippas Noga in the world of Asiya, that there we have the beginning of absolute evil, because you have the divine presence is totally engulfed and cannot be, express itself, as is known from the writings of the Arizal. The in this world, in our Gullus, the divine presence cannot express itself.
Well, okay.
It doesn't express itself.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay. Even though the first mimer, the Rebbe said that the Iker Shechina Batachtaini means like down here the highest levels of the divine highest, revelation, relatable divine revelation.
Relatable.
That's what the word Shechina means.
Yeah.
Relatable divine revelation.
Yeah, yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. Jeez. You go down to the bottom of the page. Yeah. Where am I now? And if you think about it, it's not really going to be too hard to understand something even more wondrous. I could imagine if I was like, got this in the mail, this letter.
Jeez.
Man. I would just be hopping up and down, you know. So. I wish we had the provenance on these letters as to why they were written and to whom they were written.
Are
but,
you kidding?
You know, I would get such a letter like this in the mail.
Jeez.
I mean, I know how I felt when I got a letter from the Rebbe and all it said was thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I get one of these letters, Tach v'tach v'hapol ha'mashach ha'saskar al-etzion. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. I'll mention you at my father's grave. Man, that was like a holiday for me. You know, so.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Okay, so now, so you see, what's the Pella? It says, you go look, you see what's going on up in heaven. That when a person starts purifying the halacha from the Gemara and the earlier and the later commentaries, authorities, and he brings out into revelation that which till now had been concealed. Mm-hmm. We have this. This was a great thing that happened for the 50 years in the period before, that comprised the compiling of the Gemara.
Right.
They took the Mishnayos and they said, "Well, what is this really talking about?"
Right.
We're not taking this for just a face blank what it says over there. We're going to delve in and see what is it really talking about.
What's
turn
right?
it inside
yeah.
out and upside down. Turn it on its head and put it back up again, and then come out with the halacha. And then, so that happened with the earlier codifiers and the later codifiers. They also took the Gemara and they turned it inside out and upside down and put it back around again until they finally came out with, well, this is what you're supposed to do. Because the more that you're asking, the more you're getting involved, and the back and forth, the give and take, this causes to be, this is like the idea of a tumbling stones is an example that's given. You take semi-precious stones or whatever, you take them out of the ground.
Right.
Okay, they're all schmutz, it's nothing big deal.
Right.
What do is you put them into this jar with a crank
sand.
On it, with sand,
sand. Right.
And you turn it around, and you keep on turning it and turning it and turning it, and it's the rubbing against the sand that
right.
polishes the stone.
Right.
So here you have this concept, whatever concept A, and what do? You go back and forth, you ask a question, you raise a contradiction, you point this out, you turn it upside down, you do it over there, and what happens is da-da-da-da, you get the halacha polished.
Right.
Okay, it's the same type of a process.
Right.
We raise the halacha from the klippah, which we're covering over and concealing it. It was not known at all. Or at the very least, it wasn't understood so well. But time with all of the rationale, because the time, the rationale, comes from chachma. The halacha itself comes from malchus. Do this. That's all you got to know about it. That's really bottom line. Why you have to do it? What's the implication of doing that? Any other discussion that you're going to have is going to come from chachma. As we said before, chachma is barura, and if you're going to be connected with chachma, so it's going to purify that halacha from the klippah. And there the halacha, because it came through and is now in garbed in klippa, this is now it's in galus, the sheklippa shaltim aleihem, that the forces of evil dominate over the halacha, umalimim chachma seterim el yonav etachtenim, and the wisdom, the absolute wisdom of the Torah up above and down below is totally, completely covered over. So as much as we're learning now, and how much you're learning, it's not doing it. It really isn't. Because what's going to happen first thing? Okay, the very famous sugya in Gemara, Shor Shenaga Chasapara, an ox gores a cow, and there's a dead calf next to it. So Mashiach is going to come, and we're going to realize what? We're not talking about oxen, we're not talking about cows, we're not talking about calves, we're not talking about goring, we're not talking about dead, we're not talking about any of that stuff. That is all there just so that we live under the rulership of the Eitz Hadas, puts it into terminology, which is sympathetic to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But when the world is being run by Elana Dechaya, the tree of life, so then the whole jargon is going to change. Which he doesn't answer the question here, but it says for sure, we're not getting a new Torah when Mashiach comes, by the way. The five books of Moses will be the five books of Moses.
Sure.
Your understanding of them is going to be totally different.
Of course.
But the five books are going to stay the five books.
The wisdom doesn't have to change.
No.
Just the receivers.
We just have to get smart enough to understand it. That's right.
That's right.
This right. is what it means now. This was totally completely misconstrued. The Christians picked this up and ran with it. It says a question comes from evil. So we know what that is. You know, the Christians say if you're asking a question, it's because it's the devil. You shouldn't have any questions.
They do say that,
yes.
Yes, they do.
Okay, I once asked a question of a contradiction in the New Testament. I'll go the whole story to a priest. I said, listen, I was learning about this, and this is what it says, and there's a whole contradiction, and could you explain it to me, please? And he said, that's your question. I don't have that question. I said, but wait a minute. It's not my question. It's a question. And he said, no, I don't have that question. I don't have to explain it.
Right.
Why? Because asking a question is an expression of the devil.
Right.
And he didn't want to say that. He was expressing the devil. So he doesn't have that question. He just turned it off. Okay.
Check the door.
Yeah. So, but we check your brain at the door. Yes.
Yes.
So, but that's not what we're saying this over here. The fact that we need to have a question, because what happens with every question has an answer, but every answer has a question.
Right.
And every time you go through this now, we have a deeper and greater appreciation for the subject matter.
Yes.
And the reason why we couldn't just do that bling and get right to where we needed to be is because the world is being run under the dominion now of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And unfortunately, we have to stop off on the word bad. It's not a good thing to stop off with the word bad, so we'll stop off with the word good. Anyway, so we're on page 288, right at the bottom of the page, which is Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. The very last line, Hini El Yoinin Ein Behem Koyach Levarer. The last line, now the celestial beings do not have the power to disencumber. To be continued.